In this rather long passage for today, we find Israel in a time of crisis. Things are not going well for them as a country. Things are not going well for them as a people. They had experienced a glorious past, and they were blessed by the past of their experience with God. God had led them to escape captivity in Egypt from the Egyptians. Then you remember, God had caused them to walk across dry land, parting the sea waters. But once they were across, their enemies being drowned behind them. They had been provided for in the desert with manna from heaven. God had given them food to eat. In these ways and many more, God had richly blessed the people of Israel in their past. But in our text for this morning, life was not good. It was a time of crisis. They had been in the desert for a long time. Their journey had been a long and painful ordeal. The people were tired of the desert. They were tired of their barren land that surrounded them day after day. They were tired of searching for water and for vegetation. They were tired of eating manna that God was providing for them. We can relate, can't we? Who isn't tired of shelter in place? Aren't we tired of the same old, day after day? We are tired of the experience of staring at the same walls inside our homes. We're tired of this long, painful ordeal of social distancing. We are tired of eating the same old stuff in our homes. We're tired of watching the same old TV programs. We're tired of playing the same old games. This pandemic has gone long enough. Enough is enough. Let's move on. We can relate. That's exactly how Israel felt in our text for today. Though I remind you, their experience had been 40 years. Ours is 40 days. But now in our text, the people come to a place where they could see the promised land. The end of their experience was at least in sight. They could see the great promise that God had for them just out there in the distance. It was possible that their ordeal would soon come to a conclusion. And they were so ready for their experience to change. So they were so ready to enter into this promised land. They were excited about new possibilities. They were ready for good changes. Surely, we can relate here as well. But it was at this very moment that they get the report from the spies. After infiltrating the land and spying on its inhabitants, the spies come back with this report. They say, as much as we want to get our experience over with, as much as we want to move on with a new and better life and a better future, we cannot go into this land. Sure, it's a great land. It does flow with milk and with honey like nothing you could ever imagine. The land has luscious fruit. See, it's great. But there's a problem. There's an obstacle. It's the people who live there. They are so big. They are so powerful. They are like giants. In fact, we seem like grasshoppers to ourselves and to them. We cannot enter this land. Now, most of the spies agreed with this assessment. But two spies had dissenting opinions. Caleb and Joshua said, "We disagree. We think we should go into this land. We should enter this land. God has promised this land to us. God wants us to have it. If the Lord is pleased with us and wants to give us this land, then let us trust what God has said, that God will deliver this land safely into our hands. We will be able to live in this land of milk and honey because it is God's future for us. So do not be afraid. Let us go into this new and promised land." So the people heard both of these reports. Don't enter the land. Let's enter the land. We should believe in the fear that is our reality. We should have faith in the promises of God. So what do? They wanted to enter the land, but they were terribly afraid. In fact, the text says they wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua. Why? Because their report frightened them to their core. They were terrified of what Caleb and Joshua were saying. It was a time of crisis. The people saw what they wanted, but they were too afraid to go after it. It was a time of crisis. Again, I think we can relate to this dilemma. We want life to return to normal, but we have real concerns and fears about how we're going to get there and what life in a post-corona crisis world looks like. When can we return to our normal lives? How can we return? Can we or should we go back to what life was like before this time of crisis? Or is it too dangerous? I acknowledge this morning that there are many political and scientific aspects to these difficult questions. And though politics and science are critically important for our lives, this morning I don't want to focus on those matters. Instead, I want to offer you some different questions for us to consider this morning that are related to what we've just described in this dilemma of a crisis. How will we be the church after this time of crisis? When things return to normal, or whatever normal will look like in our new world, should we be the same? How will this time of crisis impact us as a church? For you see, like Israel, the church as a whole, and our church specifically, have been blessed in the past. The Christian faith spread from a very small group of frightened individuals 2,000 years ago to more than 1 billion people of faith on this planet today. Christianity in our world is the single largest religion today. Our church, First Baptist Roswell, has grown from a handful of people 148 years ago to today, where we have become a significant and important part of God's work in this world. The church as a whole and our church stand on a strong and blessed history. But what about today? What about tomorrow? What about the years ahead? If you listen, the church as a whole is in crisis, some will say. The Christian church is growing much more slowly today than it ever has. Excitement, energy, and enthusiasm for our faith seem to have declined in recent decades. The world is changing, and the place for the Christian faith within this world seems uncertain and tenuous at best. We've said it before, but it's true. The church used to be the centerpiece of society and community, but that is not the case today. Sunday used to be a day that was different from every other day, but that unique aspect of Sunday has been swallowed up by all the other demands and voices of our culture. The world is changing, and the place for the church within this changing world seems unstable. The same may be true for individual churches like ours. I talk with pastors all the time who say the glory days of their church is well in the past. Gone are the days where Sunday school classes were overflowing to the point where there was not enough space for all the people who were attending. Days when chairs had to be placed in the aisles have been replaced by days when we hope that worship won't be embarrassingly empty. One pastor of a prominent church used to say, "We used to open the doors and the people would just pour in. But in many churches today, the doors are open in hopes that a small handful of the faithful will make it to church and worship that day." Some Christians today feel like Israel in our text. We see the future we would love to have, but there are just too many obstacles. There are too many problems. And now, on top of all of that, we have the crisis of this coronavirus that has completely disrupted how we function and how we operate. So what can be done? We're in the midst of a crisis, whether it's a worldwide pandemic or cultural changes, and we don't know how to respond to them. What are we to do? Well, according to our text for today, it seems that we have two possible options. The options are the reports from two different sets of spies. On the one hand, like Israel, we can focus on all the negatives. Our text today says the people grumbled and they complained. They cherished the past but dreaded the future. They cherished God's blessings in the past, but they lived in fear of what the future looked like. They didn't like all the changes, and they were fearful of the dangers that lay just ahead of them. In fact, they wanted to live in the past. They said, "Let's find a leader who will take us back to where we used to be." That negative attitude is an option for us today. We face an awful lot of uncertainties about the future. And as we face these uncertainties, and as we think about what life will be like if and when we get past this current crisis, as we experience changes in our church, one option for us is to gripe and complain and to be bitter and to live in fear. In Israel, some decided it was best for them to focus on the negatives, to be consumed by fear. This morning, that is one option for us. But Scripture is very clear. God's Word is very clear. There is a better option. We don't have to live in fear. We have the option of living in faith. We can view times of crisis as opportunities. You see, not everyone in Israel chose a negative attitude. Some, like Joshua and Caleb, decided to view their current situation as an opportunity. You remember we said last week that the Chinese symbol for a crisis is two different symbols combined into one, and one symbol is danger, but the other symbol is opportunity. There is always opportunity during times of crisis. Israel faced great danger if they decided to enter into the promised land. There were huge obstacles. They were uncertain as to how they would overcome these things, but they also stood on the banks of wonderful opportunities. I wonder, what opportunities lie ahead of us as a church? How might we minister differently, maybe even better in the future than we did before this crisis happened? It's interesting to me, not only the concept of the Chinese symbol of crisis, but other languages give us great insights as to how we are to understand times of crisis in our lives. The Latin word for crisis literally means to decide. The Greek word for crisis is very similar. It means decision. Both of these concepts remind us that a crisis is always a decisive point. It is a time to make a decision about our attitude. Times of crisis are experiences in life when we come to a fork in the road And we must decide, we must make a choice as to which way to go, as to what our attitude about the future will be. That's what happened to Israel. Their situation was a crisis, but it was a crisis that forced them to make a decision. A decision not only about what they would do, but a decision about what their attitude toward the uncertain future would be. This morning I'm reminded that, like Israel, the reality for our lives is times of crisis will always come. They will look differently. We will experience them in different ways, but we will always face times of crisis. The big question is, what will our attitude be? Do we focus on the danger portion of the crisis and choose to live in fear? Will we decide to focus on the opportunities of faith, not fear? We learn some valuable lessons about life during times of crisis. We can live more abundant lives because of what we learn as we struggle with our difficulties. We can become stronger. We can become a stronger and even more effective church as we learn to adapt to a changing world and our place in this world as we seek to minister and serve the needs of this community, our country, and our world. It all depends on our decision, our choice of attitude. This morning we remember, we worship a God who took the greatest crisis ever, the death of Jesus Christ, and created the greatest opportunity, salvation, this world has ever known. This morning, as we gather around God's table, let us pray that God's will for our lives will fill us with the ability and the willingness to look for God's opportunities for ourselves and for our church as we experience and deal with times of crisis. God calls us to live in faith, not in fear. What a great opportunity. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, on this day we are reminded that there is always good news, even in the most difficult times of life. And the good news is that you are with us. The good news is you always provide ways to work through times of crisis in our lives. The good news is that you love us and that you care for us and you are always working for good. This morning, Lord, as we gather around your table, remind us of this good news. Remind us of your love and remind us to seek the opportunities that lay just ahead of us, both individually and corporately together as a church. Bless us now, Lord, as we prepare to commune with you and with each other. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.